The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
The opinions expressed by the guests of this show do not necessarily express the opinions of Dr. Weinerman or Weinerman Pain and Wellness.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
Welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Philadelphia's premier physical therapy and pain management facility. Here are your hosts, Blake Rosen and Dr. Albert Talone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. On an overcast day outside, it's beautiful, sunny, and 75 inside. We got a great show for everybody. We have our Who's Who segment featuring Ken Safran of Safran Weinberg, and we have Dr. Michael Polino on the line, going to give us some great information, and of course, Dr. Albert Talone to close us out. And so as we launch the show, I'm happy to bring in Dr. Michael Polino. Doc, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe. How are you? Good to be here.
I'm great now, pal. Let's start off by, you know, we've been talking every week about some things that affect the daily lives of Americans. And last week, we talked about metabolic syndrome, and we said that up to 50% of all Americans are suffering from one or more of its conditions. That includes, you know, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, bad cholesterol levels, and high central abdominal fat, and so on. You know, that's a problem. And so today we're going to talk about some of the alternative dietary choices people are making to avoid these conditions. Can you please elaborate a little bit there?
Yes, absolutely. You're right. And, you know, over the last several months, we've been talking about a couple dozen or so diseases and conditions directly linked to the food we eat. And I honestly don't believe people make a decision to eat for disease. But, you know, I think a lot of the time people think they're buying healthy food and they're just not current on what's going on in the food industry. And they get stuck in a lifestyle, physically and financially works for them, but the long-term effects create dysfunction or disease. And it's our job to explain to them and educate people to help them make better decisions. Now, let's face it, the FDA presently allows food additives in our food that are banned in other countries. GMOs, for example, I don't know if anybody knows what that is that we're talking to, but a GMO is a genetically modified organism. And currently, in the food industry, they are scientifically engineering food plants with modifications. Now, you know, it's one thing to modify a food plant with another food plant, like two types of corn to make a better corn. But they're actually taking corn and modifying it with a bacterium so that when an insect goes to bite the corn produces its own pesticide to kill the insect. And then we eat the corn. I mean, yeah. You know.
I mean, that's a problem. And you talk about, I forget exactly what it was, Doc, but you see some of these cereals these days with these, you know, these products in them. That, I mean, I'm going to give a ridiculous example, but it's like formaldehyde or something crazy that's in some of these foods that you just shake your heads because our kids are eating them.
Right. Long-term effects, you know, and even with the GMOs, you know, they have found serious health and environmental concerns eating these types of foods. Usually the formaldehydes are in the sprays, you know, the aerosol sprays. Mm. But, GMOs are definitely in the foods, and some of the foods that have GMOs are corn, soybean, canola, sugar beets, alfalfa, papaya, yellow squash, zucchini, and the innate potatoes. And that's just now. That's just currently, you know. So today, you know, we want to talk about the paleo diet.
Yeah, and you were talking about that. That's, elaborate on the paleo diet because it seems to be an alternative that's supposed to help us fight the inflammatory.
Absolutely.
Tell me about it.
And it does. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the anti-inflammatory diet, and that's what I follow. But the paleo diet is is very similar. It is an alternative to processed foods and inflammatory foods for better health. The Paleolithic diet is based on foods presumed to have been consumed during Paleolithic time. At that time, we were hunters and gatherers, and we ate whole foods. The key fact is that before we settled into an agricultural society, that there was less disease. Now, yeah, people weren't living long as long as they do today, but that's for other reasons, okay? The agricultural society includes grains, and the grains we know today are inflammatory. That's what we were talking a couple weeks ago about, the anti-inflammatory diet, avoiding the grains, avoiding the processed foods. Well, so too with the paleo diet. Typically, the paleo diet includes vegetables, fruits, nuts, roots, lean meats, and organ meats.
Now, Doc, let me ask you a quick question. Let me jump in there for a second. What about organic foods? I mean, if something's organically grown, does it lessen the inflammatory effect?
It is anti-inflammatory if it is organically grown. All right. However, if it is a grain, it's still going to create an inflammatory reaction in your body. I mean, you know, when they say organic, they're removing pesticides, you know, and you're eating a whole food, so it's not canned, you know, so the preservatives aren't there. But if it's a starch, if it's a grain, it's still going to produce inflammatory. It's much better for you than store brand foods, you know. I hate to say that, but that's the truth. But it's not really an anti-inflammatory diet if it's, like, for example, oat. My son eats a lot of oat, but he eats gluten-free oat, and so it's not inflammatory. He likes Ezekiel bread. Ezekiel bread is a whole grain, okay, rather than a whole wheat, which the whole wheat has a lot more starch in it. But the grain itself is still inflammatory, but he eats one piece a day, okay? So these are the choices that we have to make to be, you know, to be healthy. People, they get a metabolic syndrome, or they even get the chronic sinusitis from all the inflammation that your body is producing against the food you're eating, you know? So I think personally, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry, Doc. Go ahead.
That's all right. So to answer your question, organic foods are healthier for you than regular foods because they avoid the pesticides and they avoid the preservatives, and you're eating a whole food, things like that. But it's not necessarily anti-inflammatory. Now, the paleo diet is anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, That was my next question.
Yes. And the paleo diet excludes dairy, which I like eggs. You know, I have them in the morning. I eat my carbs in the morning, and then I eat my lean stuff throughout the day. Paleo diet excludes dairy. It excludes grains, sugars, legumes, processed oils, salt, alcohol, and coffee. Now, I think it's a little radical. You know, the anti-inflammatory diet is a little better. Yeah.
Well, my point is, when you know, the paleo diet, at what point does somebody go on the paleo diet? Because it does seem, look, I'm all for, obviously, you know, straightening out with, you know, what's going on. But the question is,
right,
you know, you're surrounded in America not only by, you know, in the food stores that you go in. You're surrounded by foods that clearly are not on the paleo diet. Okay,
a lot of temptation.
Right, a lot of temptation.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy to bring Blake Rosen, who's now in the house, into the conversation. And certainly he's going to be joining us throughout the broadcast. And so, yeah, like you just said, Blake, I mean, temptation's everywhere, man. I mean, how can you stay away from it? And my question is it realistic to think that we could, you know, when I go into a Wawa, man, I mean, the yodels and the tasty cakes are looking right at me, man. They're looking right at me.
Yeah,
people. Listen, we could bring humor into this conversation and at the same time understand what's good, because we can educate ourselves. There are people that say I live in Wawa, but anyway, is it realistic to think, Doc, that we can actually,
Absolutely.
Well, not only make a difference, but I'm just saying, is it realistic to think Americans, you know, can go on a paleo diet and stay on it for a long time?
Yes, and depending on this.
And who are them four guys?
Some people, let's face it, some people are vegetarian.
Sure.
they live this way. Other people, you know, like myself, you know, once you get into your 40s and your 50s and you start to look at the hereditary factors in your family, which heredity is a lot to do with what you're going to get when you get older. And you say, you know what? I don't want to take insulin every day. I don't want to be on a blood pressure or beta blockers every day. I don't want to do these things. And so you start to make better decisions. And I investigate. Mm-hmm. And it forces me to investigate these different alternatives. And I have found that for somebody like myself who wants to eat a little better, who still has a better food, a lot of food choices, the anti-inflammatory diet is the way to go. The paleo diet is a little more restrictive. One thing I do believe is that I enjoy legumes. I believe that beans and lentils are a good source of energy. They are good carbohydrate with a low glycemic index. Therefore, I can eat them. I do believe I don't eat organ meats, which means I have to take the supplements. See, everything that I know where my nutrition is coming from. And if I don't eat that, then I have to take the supplement to support that. For example, I don't eat fish every day, so I take my omega-3 fatty acids every day. We don't have no sunshine today. I take my D3 every day, 5 to 10,000 IUs a day. You know, B-complex, I don't eat 2 servings of vegetables every day, so I have to take my B-complex every day. See what I mean?
Sure.
So once you realize what you're getting from the food, you can actually eat for health. The difference is, yes, there's a lot of Americans around us that are obese and that are unhealthy. I choose not to be one of them. And if people that are listening want to make that choice, then they need to investigate these alternative diets. And a Mediterranean diet is an anti-inflammatory diet. There is the strict anti-inflammatory diet. And the paleo diet is also radical. There's a little less food choices, but it is a good diet and it is a healthy
diet. And, Doc, if they want...
And even if you are sick, it'll bring you back out of it. Even if you are sick or you're starting to exhibit high blood pressure, high sugar levels, bad cholesterol levels, central obesity, central abdominal fat, you go on a paleo diet and a year later, you will lose it. You will get better. You will get healthy. Food is the foundation of our health.
And I'm assuming that people can find out more about the paleo diet by going online.
Absolutely. Paleolithic diet, they have it on the Mayo Clinic. They have it on WebMD. Everybody's talking about it, and they even show you, you know, the different research they do on that versus the ketogenic diet.
Awesome.
That versus the Mediterranean.
Well, listen,
and,
Doc.
And it gives you an opportunity to see where you're at.
All right. Well, listen, I another week of awesome information. Certainly, people listening out there, the paleo diet, it is an anti-inflammatory diet. You can learn more about it online. Fantastic information from Dr. Michael Polino from Weinemann Pain and Wellness. Doc, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
My pleasure.
All right, we're going to be back with more from the Pain and Wellness Hour right after the break.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries. As part of our Philly Labor Injured Workers Advocacy Initiative, which provides programs and advocates on behalf of injured workers, our Who's Who initiative recognizes the top injury professionals throughout the Philadelphia region in the area of injury law. And the Who's Who's initiative gives us the opportunity to shed a spotlight on who we consider to be the best of the best. And I'm ecstatic to have on the program Ken Safran of Safran Weinberg Law Firm. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And certainly, you know, we have a lot to talk about. And so, before, you know, this is our Who's Who segment. And so tell us, first off, a little bit about yourself and your career.
Well, yeah, our office is in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania. We also have a Center City presence as well. I've been doing workers' comp work for, God, longer than I want to say at this point. I graduated in 1985, so it's been over 30 years. I've been doing the workers' comp injury law. I also, actually this morning I had a different venue. I was in Social Security hearing this morning that we were successful with.
So okay, so Social Security disability.
Yeah, we do personal injury as well. So it's all vast of the injury work, but I do consider myself more of a personal injury specialist, and I've been doing that for so long, and I was so grateful to the councilman and you for choosing me for the Who's Who Advocacy Award that I received a couple weeks ago. I was able to have my daughter there, Hallie.
It was awesome.
And it was a really special day. And I thank you personally and David O., the councilman, as well.
Sure. Oh, it's a pleasure. And certainly what we're trying to do is, you know, like I said, shed a spotlight on those injury professionals, you know, for those individuals who get injured either on the job or injury victims that, you know, are either in a motor vehicle accident or whatever happens, that they understand who the best are. Because I've talked to many people. In fact, I remember having a conversation when an individual was injured in work, a ladder fell. I mean, and the ladder was an old ladder and it literally disintegrated on him. And he didn't, I asked him, I said, do you have any representation? You're in a bad way. And he said, I don't. And I said, why not? He said, because I don't know who to call. I look in the yellow pages and I said, well, that and several other instances in our union program, see, we have a lot of really good attorneys and legal representatives in our program, but in the union community, however, it's a huge community, and this particular union member belonged to a union that didn't have an endorsed attorney, and so we knew that's what created our initiative. So
can I comment on that for
absolutely
a second?
Please do. No, please.
I really think that is a great way to get to an attorney. You know, I don't watch daytime TV or see the advertisers on I-95 and everything like that. And people that want to advertise, it's great, but I personally don't advertise. I go by word of mouth. I try to get some union reps, you know, to help me out. But what I'm saying is that if you go to your union rep, they generally know who to go to. They can answer some of your questions. It's just, in my opinion, a phenomenal way to go about it.
Well, and the thing is that one of the things that we notice, and of course we get that, and that happens more often than not, but we ran into some unions that, for example, didn't have a preferred attorney and injury attorney. Individual gets injured on the job, calls me up, and they did not stay in touch with their preferred injury attorney, and that person, we can't get somebody on the phone. So that doesn't happen often, but it happened several times to the point where we were going to make sure it didn't happen again. And so our labor leaders are really passionate about their workers and want to make sure that they have the best, you know, available help, and that's part of what our program's about. You talked about the firm. Let's talk a little bit more about it. The firm does both work comp and personal injury.
Correct.
Does that benefit a client, you know, who may have, for example, a third-party construction case?
Yeah, I was going to say that a lot of times if you have a workers' comp situation and you're thinking, well, the company is paying me, maybe I don't really need to talk to an attorney at this point.
Right, right.
Well, What we do, we really, this is very good with our firm, because we look into every avenue, including whether or not there is somebody else that might be responsible, besides your employer, might be responsible for the accident that you were involved in. And we've had great success with that. And it's a very important consideration where a person who gets hurt at work may not know where to look.
That's right.
Or what to do. And it doesn't cost you anything to talk to me or an attorney about that situation. And just the structure, Joe, what we do in our office, some, you know, I have other attorneys, other partners who get very involved in the personal injury aspect of the case, and we bring them in right away.
Right.
To help me. I do, I will handle all the workers' comp, keep my hands in on the work, on the personal injury, but what I'm saying is it's a team effort.
Sure.
And generally, these personal injury cases, because of a work injury, can be serious, could be very, very serious case.
Now, you know, you get somebody who's injured on a job. Let's start there. First of all, even before we start there, your firm is, you know, it's a, almost like a boutique firm that you have SSD, yeah, you know, personal injury and workers' comp.
Right.
When an individual gets injured, what can they expect going to your firm rather than, you know, just a firm with 85 attorneys?
No, you can expect a way more personal
experience.
Thank you. And what I mean by that is, look, I'm not going to kid you. We're all busy. We're in court. If your attorney's not in court a lot, they're not doing enough work.
Right. If he's answering the phone on the first.
You better stay away, because they may not have enough comp cases to really have the experience. But I make an effort to say, look, I'm going to call you back by the end of the day, maybe after hours, but I'm going to get back to you that day. And it's going to be me, not a paralegal, not a secretary. Not that there's anything wrong with that. They have knowledge. Certain things they can handle, the paralegals,
sure.
And they're wonderful.
Sure.
I have 10 paralegals in my office. They're all terrific. They're phenomenal. But sometimes you just want to speak to your attorney. And I feel that our firm does that very well. I mean, not the moment you call sometimes. I have to be honest with you.
I mean, who does? I mean,
right.
In other words, you do the best you can, but at the same time, you know, your commitment is, that's what your commitment is.
Yeah, but you need to understand, when you're in a workers' comp attorney, sometimes you're being called from Philadelphia to Bristol to Malvern on the same day, and then in the afternoon, such as today, I was speaking to somebody about that. I said, I have a 3:30 doctor's deposition, which gets called in the afternoon. That's usually our days. That's how it works.
When you're, and when somebody's injured, obviously it's a stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, I was injured when I was an iron worker, and certainly there's anxieties. There's a lot of things going on. And so you can understand the insecurity. A lot of people call, they don't get the call, their attorney on the first ring, and they're panicked because sometimes, but that's a normal position. And I assume that when somebody, you know, if they get a regular call back and they understand it, I mean, they feel secure in that. Let's talk about the first 90 days.
Okay.
Okay, somebody gets injured on the job. First, what's the first thing they should do?
Well, the first thing they should do when they get injured on the job is they need to report it to their supervisor, employer, right away. Most important thing you need to do. I don't know how many times I've gone to court and the employer will argue, well, we didn't know about it. We didn't know it was work-related. Oh, yeah, he said he got hurt, but he said he got hurt on a basketball. You know, you need to report it. If they don't have you fill out an incident report right away, try to fill one out. If not, you got to make sure you report the accident. And if they have panel physicians that are listed, they, being the employer, will instruct you where you have to go for the first 90 days.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about that very point.
Because it's
a little complicated. I've talked to workers, and they don't remember. If they're listed, they never saw them. They're coming into work. They're going to work. They're working on a high-rise building. They're working on a barbershop, whatever. But the point is, they don't know. I know more often than not. Now, let's talk about the requirements by the company that it really affect whether the injured worker has to go to a panel doctor or not.
It's true. They have to have a list posted, five different doctors, okay? They have, or even more. They have to have a list of doctors that are posted for them to be seen by one of those doctors. If they don't, and they don't have a doctor that you want to see, For instance, if you want to see an orthopedic doctor, they have to have it listed. If you want to see, you know, just a regular doctor, like they'll send you like WorkNet first and things like that. But if they don't get you the orthopedics, you know, you would have a right then to do something like that. So to go to your own is what
I'm trying to say. Sure, to go to your own.
But if they have a list of doctors, and I tell my clients that, they don't fully understand that they do have to go to their doctors for the first 90 days. If they continue to treat them, if they stop treating them for whatever reason, they think, oh, you're okay, but you're really not, then you have a right to call your attorney or just call your doctor and go somewhere else.
And that's what I was going to say. If they cut you loose and say, listen, you're not injured, but the person still, you know, obviously he's in pain.
Happens all the time.
I was going to say, at that point, now, what does cutting loose mean? Does it mean they have you sign a release? How does that work?
Generally, what they'll do is they'll send you what's called a discharge letter saying that, in our medical opinion, you're doing okay. You can return to work. Sometimes they'll put restrictions on you, but they'll also say, we're going to put these restrictions on you, but I don't think you need to be treated anymore. Boom. At that point, you can make a call to your own physician. You can go to your doctor of your choosing. And that could be within the first 30 days, 20 days, 60 days, whatever. So just because there's this rule about 90 days, there are a lot of exceptions. We could spend 3 hours on the exceptions.
Right.
But I'm trying to streamline it for people that are listening.
Ken, I got that.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is this. We're talking about that. And like you said, you could spend 3 hours on it. Imagine a regular everyday guy who gets injured on the job. You know, with our injured workers program, you know, we try to engage the attorney immediately for rights and responsibilities and for communications, and so you get people most, you know, they're nervous. They don't want to make waves, of course, and understand that. At the same time, they don't understand their legal rights, responsibilities. They don't understand the same for the employer. And so therefore they end up listening to somebody who does not have their best interest at heart.
That's why I say, and I'm not saying this just because of course I am an attorney, but I'm saying the two things you should do immediately is definitely report it to, before you even call anybody, report it to your employer.
Sure, of course.
Anything. Even if you feel like you're not going to have to be out of work, let them know you have an injury. Because God forbid, 5, 6, even months from now, that injury becomes serious, you better have reported it before. Number one. Number two is you got to talk to somebody who's a professional because you don't know these rules. And we can't even go through them all today,
right,
unfortunately. But you don't know these rules about this 90-day rule. There are a lot of exceptions to it. There's a lot of variables to it. And that needs to be discussed. For instance, suppose they won't send you for an MRI. An MRI is a diagnostic test to show how injured you are. Sometimes the doctors that are panel doctors, which is the work comp, you know,
right,
doctor, will refuse to do that. Well, if there's a refusal there and they don't have a listed, you could go to your own family doctor and get your MRI.
And that's what we're going to talk about after the break. When should people go to their own family doctor to make sure they have documentation of their injury? We'll be back after the break with more with Ken Safran here on the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness, serious doctors for serious injuries.
If you're injured and need rehabilitation to fully recover, consider Weinemann Pain and Wellness in Center City, Philadelphia. If you're suffering from a diagnosed disease that is causing you great discomfort, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They will provide transportation to and from their Center City office. If you are confused, if you are troubled by your medical challenges, or if you feel hopeless because others have made you feel that way, consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step. A developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weinemann Pain and Wellness. The website for Weinemann Pain and Wellness is www.weinemannpainandwellness.com. So we continue our conversation with Attorney Ken Saffron. He's our Who's Who honoree today, and we're stoked to have him on the program. It was a pleasure to meet yourself and your daughter at Councilman David O's office for your citation presentation. It was a great day.
Yeah, it was really. It was so special, and sharing it with my daughter made it more special. It was a great day. Really
absolutely. Was. So cool. And so let's continue our conversation about how important the medical part of an injury is. When somebody gets injured, often they go to a panel doctor who's getting paid by the workers' compensation provider, and therefore they are the only ones that have documentation of the injury. So and some attorneys, think that, or they'll estimate that up to 80% of injured workers who get hurt on a job end up getting denied or disputed their benefits before they recover.
Right.
Often that's because they don't have any of their own injury documentation. So I always profess, as soon as you get injured on a job, go see your own doctor. And, of course, the first thing you do is you report it to your employer. But go see your own doctor then. Let's continue on that path and how important it is to have your own documentation for your own injury early in the game.
Yeah, very, very, very important. You got to let the employer know not only did you get hurt, but you got hurt on the job. I once had a case. Very, very, very quick story where the judge was trying to decide the case and the documentation was not clear. It was hurt. He told the employer he was hurt, but he almost didn't say that he was hurt on the job.
Right.
We ended up winning that case because we were able to prove through testimony that he was hurt on the job, but it's very, very important. And to get back to your other point where we talk about the medical, because this 90-day rule, I really think confuses a lot of, claimants.
Sure.
Claimants are the people who get hurt
right.
on the job. We call them claimants. And what it does, you made a great point there, Joe, that even if you're seeing a panel doctor, even before you see a panel doctor, go to your own doctor. It's not a problem. The doctor will see you to at least document your injury because sometimes the panel doctors, unfortunately, are hired by the employer and don't make it very easy for them to get the proper treatment that they need.
Exactly. I want to bring Blake Rosen of Weinemann Pain and Wellness into the show. Blake, like Ken had said, certain times panel doctors are not, very in-depth in their treatment. How often does a patient come to the office that may not have had proper exams or diagnostics after going to the panel doctor, even for, a decent period of time?
It happens all the time, daily, because we have patients who come in, as Ken was saying, that really, don't really want to ask questions because they're afraid. They don't want to generate waves at their job. And we have patients a lot of times who hurt a certain area of their body, maybe their shoulders, and aggravate another body injury, maybe like the lower back, and don't have any diagnostic testing for that, and are afraid to ask the panel doctor because they might be returned to work, as Ken was saying, on modified duty.
Well, when somebody goes on modified duty, or when a doctor, a panel doctor, says you have to go on modified duty, or what they'll say light duty, what does that mean?
Well, it means they put some restrictions on you, they being the panel doctors. And generally, if the employer has that type of work for you because you have no other opinion, I tell my clients to try it. Go back, but make sure if you go back, you can't do it. You let the employer know and get out of there. Go back to the panel doctor.
If you can't do it.
If you can't do it.
Sure.
But you got to try. Because that doctor, look, that's the only doctor you've seen at that point. And that is very, very important. I think Blake made another point that I want to raise. I'm not even sure you realized that you were making this point. You mentioned two body parts. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the panel doctor will only treat you for one body part, even though another body part is hurt. Like you tell them your neck and the shoulder is bothering you. Well, I had a client who they would only treat for the neck. They say, oh, no, your shoulder's not a problem. Well, she ended up having shoulder surgery twice because of this, and it was denied.
Sure.
So that's another problem. You've got to document it with the panel doctor. If they won't see you for that body part, then you've got to, again, at least get to your own doctor to be seen by that body part.
Yeah,
that's a big issue. That issue has come up numerous times on my.
Yeah, and the tragic thing is, if something gets denied, okay, what happens at that point? Who pays for it?
Well, you mean if the claim?
Well, no, like you just said, somebody got shoulder surgery.
Yeah, well, then you have to get an attorney to file a petition. It's either a review petition to review the body parts that were hurt, or you just file a claim petition, and that gets you into the arena with regard to the body parts that are actually hurt. And the judge will hear the testimony from your doctor and their doctor about those body parts. But it comes up a lot where they will only treat, for some reason, one body part because that's what you complained of first, but then all of a sudden there's another body part involved, becomes a real issue.
How often does fear become a factor in a worker's injury case?
All the time. You don't know how many times I got a call. In fact, I just got a call. I saw a gentleman on Friday. I'm certainly not going to use names, but I went to his house and saw him. That's something I will do.
Okay.
Yeah, I went up to his house and saw him because he had a pretty bad injury. And I said, it was a little bit of time, like 60 days. I said, why hadn't you called anybody, me or anybody else? He said, I was just fearful. I didn't want to rock any boats. I didn't know if you were going to start calling the employer. And I told him I wouldn't do that. Until you and I have a conversation that they're doing something wrong by you and you want me to call the employer, I won't do it. I'll just be your coaching guide until that happens. So fear should not render, as long as you have an attorney that you can work with and you have a clear understanding, fear should not be a factor.
Blake, when somebody comes to the office, and they've gone through all these types of situations, fear, you know, their pain, the whole deal. How often?
It's the number one factor.
What's that?
I said it's the number one factor that gets in the way of trying to rehabilitate somebody and get them better.
Right. And I was going to say, how often are you rehabilitating not only their body but also
their head,
mind? Right. Exactly.
I mean, patients feel beaten down all the time. I mean, they feel like they don't really know who to trust. That's why, as Ken was saying, it's so important to get an attorney, somebody who's impartial that you can speak to. And sometimes you feel like you're asking, you know, redundant questions, but it's such a vast topic that's hard to understand.
Well, you know, Ken, I had once had an individual call me up and want to lie to the employer and tell them that they didn't get injured in work, right? Yeah. And I told them, I said, look, the truth is always, and this person was, there was the last day they worked for that particular company. They were a construction worker. They had a bunch of different employers. Their union was signatory because they didn't want to make waves. And certainly that can have an unbelievably negative impact. I mean, what happens if you try to man up? You know, we talk about reporting it to your employer and all. You're supposed to have what, 60 or 90, how many days?
120.
But, 120, but if you don't do it immediately.
You better do it quick because then they start to question it. And the other issue with you, oh, I'm sorry.
No, we're good. No, how much time do we have today? Okay, 2 minutes. Okay, go ahead.
The other issue with regard to the reporting and then with regard to that is just like, if you don't do it, then you say, well, it happened somewhere else. And then suppose you have an injury where you're out of work.
Sure.
I've had people do that. Some people do it even for a
short then try to tell the truth later. Right?
Unfortunately, some people do it, and they're not even that. It's not even – it's because they have – it's an insurance issue too.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I have some insurance somewhere else. If I don't say it's at work, it's going to get paid for. I'm really hurting. Otherwise, it's going to get denied. That is such – You've touched on about three or four issues. I need to come back.
But I can absolutely.
I'm telling you, this issue is a big issue. But I always tell people, look, be straight up from the beginning because you're just making it more difficult for everybody by saying that. I've had it happen all the times. And if I could also say, sometimes they'll have you fill out a document trying to check off that it's not related, they being the employer, be very careful.
Absolutely. Ken, real quick, does it cost, is there any out-of-pocket cost to your services?
No, not at all. Not at all. I have to get you some money. I have to win your case, get you some type of settlement, or if we litigate, I would get 20%.
Now, before we go, your contact information if somebody wants to get in touch with you.
Oh, my phone number to everything?
Injured worker wants to get in touch with you.
Injured worker wants to get in touch with me. We are at 215-576-0100. As I said, I have an office in Center City at 1500 JFK Boulevard, Suite 1030. I also have my main office in Jenkintown at 815 Greenwood Avenue in Jenkintown, PA. And again, we'd be more than happy. Once you become a client of mine, too, I'm more than happy. Personal contact is very important. Generally, every workers' comp client of mine has my cell phone as well because they need it.
Ken, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Certainly, some great information. You got a date there. We're gonna finish this discussion at a further show, and that's Ken Safran, a workers' compensation personal injury attorney. Ken, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Again, it was a pleasure. And again, we touched on certain things today that we really need to expand upon. Because you brought up some great discussion topics and issues that need to be expanded on. Thank you, everybody.
Ken Safran of the law firm of Safran and Weinberg. Ken, congratulations for being our Who's Who honoree, and we look forward to having you on again. We'll be back with more after the break.
Meet the doctors of Weinerman Pain and Wellness located in Center City, Philadelphia. Dr. Albert Talone, with over 40 years of medical excellence, you're in good hands. Dr. Michael Polino, specializing in the treatment of medical disorders like fibromyalgia. And Dr. Brent Weinerman, the ultimate medical professional who will treat you with an unconditional commitment to surpassing your highest expectations. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
All right, welcome back to the Pain and Wellness Hour. Sponsored by Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Serious Doctors for Serious Injuries. Let me give you the website, www.weinermanpainandwellness.com. You're an awesome sponsor that we are excited to have on the program, and certainly unbelievable location. And now I'm ecstatic to have one of our top dogs from Weinerman Pain and Wellness, Dr. Albert Talone, on the program. We're going to continue our conversation on alternative sugar substitutes, and Blake Rosen's going to lead this discussion. And let's pick up. First off, Doc, remind us of what we talked about last week.
Well, last week we reviewed the artificial sugar substitutes in drinks, from the original saccharin back in the day, the tablets, carrying your own bottle. And then we talked about the second generation of aspartame and sodium cyclamates. And then the more recent ones that are plant-based, like stevia and Splenda. So we talked about those, the derivatives and how they're used in drinks and the power of these sugars and why they leave an aftertaste. And today we're going to move on to other sugary substances that we see in our drinks. People have moved away, you know, from the sugary drinks because of a lot of sugar, especially if they're diabetic and have to watch the sugar. So they went to sweeteners. And then after a while, after the artificial sweeteners, you know, we now have flavored waters that have little no calorie. And we also have the fruit drinks in abundance, all kinds of fruit drinks, you know, in all types of applications. And you have to be careful with those because they have other sugars in there other than sucrose that we talked about. Sucrose is regular cane sugar. So if you purchase these items and you look at the ingredients, you'll see words like high fructose, corn sweeteners added. And you also see an interesting one. It's called desiccated or dehydrated cane, which is nothing more than sugar, cane sugar, sucrose. Mm-hmm. So you just have to be aware of those terms and understand that those are sugars. They are not always readily metabolized by the body as quickly as sucrose. And so they lay around in the bloodstream, and they can be turned to fat. So a lot of us are looking at that, wondering if this is where we're getting some of the increased abdominal girth, abdominal belly fat, and we have to be mindful of that. Plus, the calorie load on some of these fruit drinks is twice that of sugars.
Which is amazing.
In sodas.
Sure. I mean, my wife is always on me about drinking diet sodas. And
sugar-free drinks.
Right, exactly.
Sugar-free Red Bulls.
I mean, and then why do you buy them, for crying out loud? We get them, but I just can't drink them. Blake, you and I were talking earlier about, you know, the different types of diet drinks and stuff like that. You have your regular standard brands, and then you have your stevia brands. Tell me, you know, what your thought is in regards to some of the new stuff, like the natural stuff.
I mean, I'm guilty of the same thing as everybody else. You look at the back of the caloric intake and see that it's, you know, very low in calories, and you feel like you're doing the right thing and better.
Exactly. But
sometimes, as you know, Dr. Talone discussed last week while I was out sick, that sometimes the real sugar is better for you, and you just have to be, you know, aware of what you're putting in your body. This weekend, while I was away on the holiday weekend, there's a friend of mine.
By the way, I saw that on CNN. We don't have to talk. Oh, you're talking about, okay, go, what you were drinking.
He's on the paleo diet, and he, as we were talking about it, and he went nuts. He was looking for sugar everywhere. It looked like somebody just got let out of jail.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, at the end of the day, Doc, let's talk about some of the types of foods that have, different sugar alternatives that people might think that they're eating or consuming that may not be as good for them as they might think.
Well, for instance, a can of soda, sugar soda, you know, traditional brand name sodas, they can run about 100 to 150 calories, you know, in a 6-8 ounce bottle. And now they've come out with smaller amounts to cut that calories in half. But you have to be aware that you're thinking when you're drinking a fruit substance like these combination cran apple.
And that's what I was going to say. Yeah, exactly. You know,
people think, oh, this is better. I'm not drinking soda. I'm having a fruit drink. Well, if you look at the side of some of these, you'll see, again, those words, high fructose, corn sweeteners. And you look at the calories. and they're twice that of what's in a sugary soda.
Right.
So what I'm saying is you have to be mindful of that, look at that. Because if you take two cans of some of these fruit drinks, you know, you are getting about 500 calories, which is that's a lot in just in about a 16-ounce can, if you can imagine 2 8-ounce cans around. But it all adds up. You have to be mindful of that. And here you are thinking you're doing a good thing. So what I tell folks to do, you can drink these things, but I tell them to cut it with like club soda or some other calorie-free flavored water or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so like you take a third of the fruit juice and make 2/3 of the club soda, and that'll give you some flavor. The reason why we eat and drink what we do is based on taste. But we're not always thinking.
Right.
We're looking for taste. And that's what drives everybody. I mean, I was on the boardwalk, and this weekend was a washout.
Right.
And I'm listening to this paleo diet, and I walked up and down that boardwalk, and I saw the antithesis of a paleo diet.
Right. You're talking pizza.
Pizza, french fries, hamburgers, sausages, sodas, you know, and everything there.
Yeah,
and
people can
candy,
say mine. Right.
And everybody was in there. But it's human nature. You know, it's okay to have those things. They're okay. You have to know how to process that, you know, modify that, moderate that, you know, and have to be careful with those things.
And, Doc, like you were saying, the advertising is just so good nowadays that when you grab a bottle of fruit juice and it says, like, real made from real fruit, you think you're being healthy, and it's very deceiving.
Well, yes. I think most people like orange juice,
mm-hmm.
pineapple juice.
Right.
You will be amazed how much sugar is in orange juice and pineapple juice. It is remarkable. I mean, somebody could have a low sugar, like 50 units of sugar in their blood. You give them a glass of orange juice, they wake right up. I mean, it's amazing. We use it for hypoglycemia all the time, low blood sugar. Fruit juices are fast acting. So, I mean, if you're going to drink fruit juice, it's okay, but you have to dilute it, cut it with some club soda or something like that. Problem is club soda has no taste, so you have to add something to it. So you just have to be aware of what you're doing, be aware of what you're drinking, and look at the labels.
And we talk about addiction, right, and deception. And, you know, people get addicted to, look, I'm going down the shore on the boardwalk passing the ice cream and the Max Pizza and all that stuff. And I'm thinking of the paleo diet. And I'm, you know, my whole life is, based, you know, I mean, on, you know, you're getting bombarded with marketing.
Everywhere you look.
Right, my God, it's incredible. So, yeah, I'm going to go potentially, you know, the old, I'll start on Monday.
Yeah, start on Tuesday.
Monday, Tuesday now, right? But, Doc, how much is involved in try to keep a good diet? We talked to Dr. Polino in actually researching and reading exactly what it is. It sounds to me like a lot of this should start in the actual food market when you're purchasing your foods. So, when you think you're getting a good food, and you, like you said, you think you're getting fruit juice, but really, you know, there's more sugar in it than there is, you know, a Coca-Cola for crying out loud.
The easiest thing I tell folks to do is, especially if you're middle-aged and older.
Which I'm not there yet, but, you know, when I do get there, you know, I'll be on it.
You can't keep hiding here.
We can't. That's why I'm on radio, Doc. It's theater of the mind.
You should see this on TV.
That's why I want to hang out with Blake and his friends, you know, so we can average the median age. And, you know, we're a bunch of middle-aged guys, but really it's just me. But go ahead.
But what you have to do is try to shop what I call the perimeter of the food market. Just go on the outside. You know, go to the freezer case, the meat case, the chicken case, the fish case. Go to the produce case, the fruit case. Mm-hmm. Stay on the perimeter. That's on the outside.
So just pretend the middle's not there.
The aisles.
Dip your toes in the
aisles 1 through 20 is where all the problems.
Is that where the problems are?
You don't know what you're getting. So
right, people walk around and think I got a bad neck, and they're going, "What the heck's wrong with that guy? Seems like he's not looking to the right and then to the left and then to the right." But no, certainly one thing that's important that I've learned about this is it's obviously a commitment, and sometimes that commitment, the spontaneous, spontaneity, Doc. You know, people just want to grab for the first thing they get because they're maybe addicted to sugar and they're going through withdrawal. I'm just being real. And next thing you know, they're going for those. Let's talk about the different types of sugar substitutes. I mean, you have your equal, you have your sweet and low, and I'm not talking about the actual names, the chemical names for them, but and then you have your Splenda, and what's the one we talked about, the
Stevia.
Stevia, right. Of all of those products, would stevia, because it's a natural product, would that be the most recommended in regards to long-term health?
Well, I don't know if you can say that, Joe, but it's there is no sugar. There's no sucrose in any of these. The only thing that's different is with the newer products like stevia and Splenda is that they're only about 40 to 50 times the taste sweetness of sugar, sucrose. So it doesn't leave a strong aftertaste on your tongue. So they're probably more palatable, and that's what they've been working on. Saccharin leaves a strong aftertaste. It's because a saccharin molecule is 500 times the sweetness of sugar.
And was it the 70s or the 80s where saccharin was the big thing it was cancer causing?
Well, they made allegations of that. Those things are constantly looked at. I don't think anybody can really say that, but we've encouraged people to use those moderately. You know, some people that's all they use is saccharin and these type of artificial sweeteners. But again, you have to use those things in
moderation.
Moderation, exactly.
As we're talking about moderation, and we were talking about the paleo diet earlier, how safe is it to just jump, like as we were talking about after a weekend of, binging, down the shore? How safe is it to just jump right into, let's say, the paleo diet?
I think it's essentially harmless. I don't think it's...
But I mean, in terms of sustainability.
Good question.
Well, again, like I said, taste drives everything. And then if you don't get – it's interesting. With the artificial sweeteners, what they found out with the use of these things, increased use of them, it has driven people to go for sugary substances because their brain is telling them they need something sweet, and they're not getting it from the sugary substitute, the artificial sweetener.
Sure.
So it tends to have them drive more for something sweet. It's interesting. Diabetics who try to avoid, sugars and sugars in foods and beverages seek sugar all the time. It's just a phenomenon. It's part of the disorder. People have high blood pressure, who have to curtail their salt intake. They constantly are looking for salty things to eat. So it's amazing. Your brain is set to have those substances.
We don't like being told we can't have something.
Exactly. And right away, I want it. Maybe if people said, you have to eat sugar, then I would want it. But listen, Doc, I want to thank you so much again for this conversation.
You're welcome.
Some awesome information. I want to thank Ken Safran of Safran Weinberg. I want to thank Dr. Michael Pluto, Blake Rosen, and certainly Dr. Albert Talone. Another great week on the Pain and Wellness Hour, sponsored by Weiner. In Pain and Wellness. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week. I'm open up the door.